You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The unique interpretation of the miracles, plural, of Hanukkah, which is given by Harav HaGain, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik of Bris, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. There is a common denominator between the Yom Tov of Purim and the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. In fact, the Yom Tov of Purim historically took place before the second temple was built. It was basically at the end of the 70 years of Golas Bavel. So that was the first Yom Tov Derabbanan Purim. In fact, Mordechai is said to be a member of the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah, which was the functional Sanhedrin that helped found and create and build the Beis HaMikdash and establish the Jewish community during the time of Bayis Sheni, the Second Temple. The Yom Tov of Chanukah took place during the earlier periods of Bayis Sheni, when the Greek Empire was conquering the entire world under Alexander the Great. They had tremendous, tremendous military power in conquering the earth, taking away the great Persian Empire and conquering it by the Greek Empire. And during that time period, they were very busy not only conquering real estate tracts around the world and putting it under the supervision and authority of the Greek Empire, but they also wanted to force their religion, their ideology on the world at large, called the religion of Hellenism, which was an idolatrous formulated type of holiday, which they wanted the Jews to live by, to basically practice the entire year round, give up their Yiddishkeit, give up their Torah, and become pure advocates of the ideology and theology of the concept of Hellenism. And in fact, some Jews did become believers in this, and unfortunately helped facilitate the Greeks' ability to come to Israel and start penetrating the culture and trying to change everything until the Hashmonaim and the Maccabees came along and stopped them in their tracks, and ultimately, with a victorious war, were able to defeat the Greeks and be able to take the temple that was contaminated by them and made into a pagan temple, to literally reacquire their jurisdiction over this temple and repurify it and cleanse it out. And once again, mechanech the Beis HaMikdash to be solely a mokum of Kedusha V'tara, which is used purely for the purposes of Avodas Hashem, as it was before the Greeks ever got hold of it. Now, the similar phenomenon that exists between the Yom Tov of Purim and the Yom Tov of Chanukah is that Klal Yisrael's life was at stake, our physical life was at stake, and our spiritual life was at stake. And both of these empires, whether it was the Persian Empire or the Greek Empire, if you didn't listen to them, were therefore willing, without a question, to kill all the Jews that were there who were not willing to submit themselves to basically their beliefs and their ideas and their idolatrous practices. So one of the major similarities that both of these Yom Tovim have is that the Jews had to fight a war to prevent this phenomenon from taking place. The Megillah is an historical document written by Mordechai V'Esther, and given the status, ultimately speaking, as part of Tanakh, it's part of the Ksubim, it had a certain sanctity, some Ruach HaKodesh involved in its writing and the message it was giving to us. And therefore, the celebration of the Yom Tov of Purim is a celebration of the Nitzachon of the Melchama, which Klal Yisrael miraculously had, defeating the Amalekim and anti-Semites of the Persian Empire, preventing them from destroying us, men, women, and children. And therefore, the Nitzachon Melchama of the Jewish people is one of the reasons we made this into a Yom Tov Derabanan, with the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, all the halachas we have connecting to this, and that is having a Sudas Purim, and Shalach Manos, and Matanas Levyon, all of this. And the way we conduct ourselves on Purim is to show the simcha we have celebrating this very commemorative event, the Yom Tov of Purim. On Chanukah, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, it seems to be almost identical. There was a threat to the Jewish religion and a threat to the Jewish people. If we didn't convert to Hellenism, there are people who were killed and died on Kiddush Hashem. If we didn't want to change our theological beliefs and go from Judaism to the concept of Hellenism, our life was in danger. How many people were killed because of this? We underwent a milchama led by the Chashmonaim, the Kohanim Gedolim, and their peers fighting the magnificent, tremendous, powerful army of the Greeks that were holding control geopolitically of the world, and in particular of at that time Eretz Israel. They fought valiantly, and once again, miraculously, our group were able to defeat the Greek army to the point that they were able to get rid of the threat of Hellenism, get rid of the Greeks forcing us to want to convert to Hellenism, get rid of the gezeiros against Torah mitzvahs, and be able to once again reacquire our temple exclusively, clean it out of the impurities of the idolatry that was performed there, get rid of all the utensils that were used for idolatrous purposes, and get rid of them, building a new mizbeach, building a brand new menorah, making brand new kelim that were defiled by idolatry, and rededicating the Beis HaMikdash and its mizbeach and its menorah and its kelim for pure, exclusive avodas Hashem. Both Yom Tovim had at the crux of the major miracle, a nitzachon milchama. Okay? Now, when it came to establishing the Yom Tov of Purim, the incredible nitzachon milchama of Purim was sufficient to make an actual Yom Tov derabanan of Purim to celebrate that nitzachon milchama. It's a historical fact. We're celebrating the nitzachon of Napahu, of Klaus, of getting the upper hand and winning the war against the anti-Semites, the Amalekim of that empire, and all the provinces. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem allowed us to accomplish this. Incredible. By Chanukah, what's interesting is, we also had a Nitzachon Milchama. Incredible. A Nitzachon Milchama. We fought off the Greek Empire. You would think that the Nitzachon of the Chashmonaim against the incredible odds and incredible powerful military force of the Greek army they were confronting, and the fact that they won that war, would have been sufficient to make the Yom Tov of Chanukah become also a Yom Tov of tremendous simcha, and we should be celebrating the Yom Tov of Chanukah just because of the Nitzachon Milchama. What's the difference between the Nitzachon Milchama of Chanukah and the Nitzachon Milchama when it came to Purim? Same outcome. Same generation of Simcha. And when you have the ability to be saved from your spiritual and your physical essence being destroyed by our adversaries. The Gemara says explicitly in Masechtas Pesachim, we're chayiv to give halo v'haydah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a chiv of saying the Hallel, Hallel Shalom, the full Hallel from beginning to end on both Chanukah and Purim. But the Gemara tells us at the end, the reason our minig is not to say Hallel on Purim is because the Megillah is viewed as if we're saying Hallel on Purim itself. So that replaces the need to say Hallel because the reading of the Megillah is looked upon as being a recitation of Halav HaHidah. It's Beferish in Chazal, Beferish in Gemaris. And in fact, the Poskim say, if God forbid a Jew finds themselves on Purim, not having the ability to have a Megillah to read. In that case, they could say Hallel, Shalom without a bracha, in lieu of reading the Megillah, in order to give proper Hallel v'Hadah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hallel v'Hadah is required for Purim. It's required for Chanukah. When the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos describes the institution of Yemei Chanukah, it was made as a Yom Tov to give Hallel v'Hadah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Beferish Gemara, Asam Yom Tovim, Kabahala u'b'Hadah. And the same thing applies to the Yom Tov of Purim. By Purim, the Hallel is accomplished by the recitation publicly of the Megillas Esther. Not only once, but twice. So now comes the major question number one of this morning's shiur. Why is it when it comes to the Yom Tov of Purim, Nitzach HaMelchama is enough to establish the Yom Tov? One miracle. Why is it when it comes to Chanukah, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos very explicitly, when it describes what Chanukah is and what it celebrates, it doesn't just mention one miracle, the Nitzach HaMelchama, the military victory, but then it describes what ended up being the miracle of the Hadlokas Neros of the menorah that was made brand new in the Beis HaMikdosh, the miracle of the fact they only had one pure crucible of oil that was measured out to last one day to light all the seven lights, Neros of the menorah. It couldn't last for more than one day. And miraculously, the oil, even though it could last only one day, on day two through day eight, the oil still was there. It burnt literally 8 days straight, 24 hours for 8 days straight. The miracle of the Ner Chanukah comes to commemorate the miraculous burning of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash for 8 days straight with one little shear of oil, which was no questionly a Ner Tamid of 8 days, a miracle of Hashem, which has to be explained as being something that's L'mayla Miderech HaTeva, something supernatural. And nevertheless, it seems when you read the Gemara in Shabbos that you needed two miracles in order for the Yom Tov of Chanukah to be established as a Yom Tov, because it says that after we had the Nitzach and Milchama, Keshagavra Malchus Beish Chashamanai V'Notzchum, they had the military victory, and they were searching for oil to relight the brand new menorah they created. They only found one kashura fleshel of oil. A nest took place, and it burned for 8 days. And it was only a year later on that they made Chanukah officially into a Yom Tov derabanan, with Simchas Yom Tov having the features of Hallel v'Hadah. Why do we need two miracles to establish the Yom Tov of Chanukah? That was the major million-dollar question everybody asks. But Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal in particular was fascinated to see what is the relationship of the miracle of Ner Chanukah to the Nitzach HaMelchama. Are these two separate independent miracles that are not connected to each other? Or is there an interdependence, he asks, between the Nitzach HaMelchama and the Nes of the Pach Shemen, where one needs the other, for whatever reason we'll explain in a couple of minutes, in order for the Yom Tov of Chanukah to be understood, in order for the Nitzach HaMelchama miracle to be understood, and in order by doing such, allow us to have the Yom Tov established as a Yom Tov Derabbanan of Chanukah for all generations to come. That was the first major question of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Why do we need two miracles for Yom Tov of Chanukah, and why by Purim is one miracle sufficient? Obvious question, anybody can ask the question, and he articulated, like everybody else, what is the answer to this specific question. And I'm going to share with you right now. So, the first thing I want to mention to you, if you look at Hanukkah, we do recite Hallel, full Hallel for all 8 days, that's number one. Number two, in the Tfilos of Shachris Mincha Maariv, and in our Bechat HaMazon, we recite a Hoidah in the Al HaNisim Tfilah, that's part of the last brachos that are contained in the Shmoneh Esrei, in the part that starts with the Modim. We're giving Hodot Hashem for all the miracles Hashem performs for us each and every day, the open miracles and the hidden miracles contained in natural law. And then the Nisim, as we say very specifically, Ala Nisim va'apurkin ha'gvuras ha'chulos ha'milchama shasis la'vaseinu v'yomein b'mar ha'zeh, for all the miraculous events that took place to Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, all our salvations. The Alanisim is a statement of Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in the regular Hallel, there's no mention explicitly in the Hallel itself to the specific miracles of Chanukah itself, but we know for a fact that when you have a miracle of salvation of the Jews, where their life and their religion was threatened and they were saved, you have to recite the regular Hallel, which we have a Kabbalah. This is the Nusach of Hallel, X amount of Psalms we take from Sefer Tehillim, repeat them in a specific sequential order. That's what Chazal Rekoveya is the mitzvah of Hallel, whether it's a Deraisa, Derabbanan, I'm not going to get into that now. Machlokas Rishonim, but Hallel has a fixed text we use for Yom Tov Deraisos and Yom Tov Derabbanans. Now, when it comes to the special Hodor that we give, what's interesting and fascinating, that the Hodor that we have for Chanukah and Purim are both contained after Modim, prefaced by the Al HaNisim, special Nusach for Purim, B'mei Mordechai v'Esther, special for Chanukah, B'mei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, HaChashmonai, and each one then tells a little story concerning why we're giving Hodot Hashem on these rabbinical Yom Tovim, what are we commemorating, and what in fact are we praising Hashem for, in the actual Shemoneh Esrei, three times a day. What is fascinating, as I'm going to show you very shortly, is that the miracle of Hodah that is emphasized in the Al HaNisim Tfilah on Chanukah mentions explicitly the Nitzachon of the Milchama, does not mention explicitly the miraculous nature of the menorah burning for a day. So the miracle of the menorah is not mentioned in the Al HaNisim of Chanukah. It just says that they purified the temple and just lit the menorah without telling us of the miracle involved in lighting that menorah. The Gemara, interestingly, is makatzer on the Nitzach HaMelchama. We beat the Greeks out, and spends more time on the miracle of the lighting of the menorah. So between the actual text of the Gemara in Shabbos, which emphasizes the miracle of the menorah, and the text of the Al HaNisim that emphasizes the miracle in Nitzach HaMelchama, why do we have such a divide between these two sources? Doesn't make sense. It's as if, according to the Haidah, the miracle of the menorah for 8 days is not even emphasized as a miracle, while the Gemara does. I mean, these are questions that have to bother you when you look at the textual materials from which we basically praise Hashem for the miracles of Chanukah. What is going on over here? As I pointed out to you, we could have had a holiday just celebrating the Nitzach HaMelchama like we have by Purim, celebrating the Tzach L'Milchama, but for some reason by Chanukah we need an additional miracle of the Nair, which is mentioned by the Gemara, but it's not mentioned in the Al HaNisim. So we have to understand this. And this bothered Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk tremendously. So I want you to listen very carefully to the presentation I make and hear the resolution of this in a very mesudadik way. When you analyze the Ness of Nitzach HaMelchama, there's no question that what happened in the Nitzach HaMelchama of Chanukah was the incredible, unbelievable mitzias of Rabim Miad Miyatim, gigantic, powerful army that was looked upon as being something that is an army that is literally incapable of ever being defeated, fighting a bunch of religious advocates, the Kainim and the Kainim Gedolim of the Beis HaMikdash, who have no military training, don't have the weaponry that the Greeks have. So they undertake to fight a guerrilla warfare against the Greek Empire. So you say to yourself, how in the world did these Gedolim, these Tzaddikim, think that they have the ability to defeat the Greek Empire? If I contrast it to Purim, if you remember the narrative in Megillas Esther, when Mordechai and Esther wanted the Jews to fight the anti-Semites of the Persian Empire, they had already a royal mandate from Achashverosh, from the official king of the empire. It was sent to, or at an official statement to all the Medina Samelech, that the Jews on this date are given the royal permission to defend themselves with the authority coming from the king of the Persian Empire, and to pursue and to defeat those enemies of the Jewish people that want to kill them and destroy them. You didn't just have a couple of Jews coming together, but you had thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews throughout the gigantic Persian Empire in every province coming together, confronting the non-Jewish anti-Semites and the Amalekis of their generation and successfully defeating them, killing all of them. And this was done with the power of the king. So under those specific circumstances, we can see on a little level, b'derech hateva, why the Jews thought they had the possibility to overcome their adversaries and to be successful in that war. It was an official war that was authorized by the gigantic, powerful Persian Empire and supported by it. But over here, when the Jews were confronting the Greeks in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, there was no other country or entity that was supporting them. There was no non-Gayisha government or nation that was giving them help or giving them legal entitlement to do what they did. You had a small group of religious people fighting a magnificent empire's army, which, based upon the laws of statistics, there's no way in the face of this world could have ever been thought to be ever successful. But what the secularists do, when they look at the war of Chanukah, if I'm a military strategist that basically is teaching military strategy in West Point to future military officers of the American Army, they look at what happened during Chanukah as an example how guerrilla warfare of people that are living in their country and know the terrain of their country backwards and forwards are able, if they use proper military strategy of guerrilla warfare, to defeat the conquering mighty army that wants to conquer their country. They're able to outroot them, they're able to outfigure them in all the types of military activities they can to destroy the great military power piece by piece. The enemy can't figure out where they're hiding, where they're going, when they come next. Guerrilla warfare is a major powerful force. It has always been. Just look in Afghanistan how the Taliban fought a guerrilla war against Russia and then against America and ended up defeating both major armies because they used the strategy of guerrilla warfare. And West Point looks upon Hanukkah as an early historical phenomenon of guerrilla warfare of the Jews defeating the mighty Greek army. So you say to me, what's so terrible by thinking that way? The problem is, if you think that way, you're able to look upon Hanukkah as a major military victory for the Jews, not based upon Hashem's siyata d'shmaya, Hashem's help, but based upon the fact that guerrilla warfare is effective, and it's demonstrated that over thousands of years, even to the present. And if that's the case, if guerrilla warfare is effective and able to defeat enemies even without what people claim is without miraculous God intervention, so many people celebrate Hanukkah, even in the Jewish world, as a secular military victory, which was seen by the events of Hanukkah. And they look upon this as a very secular holiday, celebrating the power of the fact of the Koch V'yosni Yodi Oslis HaChayel HaZeh, the power of our hands, the strength of our military intelligence, and our very, very special capacities to figure out how to manipulate our enemy and outpower them, not in numbers, even not in strength, but tactical warfare that's very effective, that a small little group of people can defeat a major, major army. And therefore, for many people, Hanukkah is a secular holiday. Kochiv Yotzim Yadi, the power of my hands allowed me to accomplish this. When the Rabbeinu Shalom saw that the Jews were zocha for nitzachon milchama against the Seleucid Greeks, believe it or not, some of the Hellenists and some of those who weren't Hellenists weren't that believer, big believers in Judaism and in Hashem himself, look upon this as a secular military victory, a guerrilla warfare success. And therefore, they're happy to celebrate this holiday, Kochiv Yotzim Yodi. But the Rabbeinu Shalom Bechvado Ubiatzmo did not want Hanukkah to become a secular military victory holiday that has nothing to do with God or religion or Torah or the fact that Jews exist in this world l'mayla miderech ha-teva, as we see for thousands and thousands of years. Hashem wanted to see that the Jews will understand that their military victory was only accomplished because of the divine assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'biatzmo. Hashem facilitated this miracle taking place. It was with the siyata d'shmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this miracle was able to take place. And the fact of the matter is, the ness of the Ner Chanukah is the vehicle HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to explain to the Jews how the Nitzach HaMelchama was only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them. And the Torah that they were learning and practicing was Megin Omatzel, protected the Jews and saved the Jews. It was in Kochi V'otzim Yadi. But as the Pasuk says in Ach, Lo Bechayo V'lo Bekoach, Kim Baruchi Om Hashem Zavakais. The miracle of Hanukkah was not based upon strength, based upon the concept of our incredible military prowess, but it was based on Baruchi, our spiritual devotion to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our devotion to Hashem's Torah and Mitzvahs. They gave us the Siyata D'Shmaya and God's help to perform a mission impossible. And I'm going to show you very, very quickly how Rechaim explains how the miracle of the Ner Chanukah established and redefined the miracle of how we won the war. And therefore, Rav Chaim is going to show us how we see there is an intrinsic connection between the Ner Chanukah miracle and the Nitzach HaMilchama, making it into basically one big miracle, where the Ner Chanukah defines how the miracle of Nitzach HaMilchama took place, to make it into a religious, spiritual event, not merely to a secular military victory. So listen to what Rav Chaim says, as I point this out to you very carefully, especially in the Nusach that's contained in our Al HaNisim. When you look in the Al HaNisim, let me read it to you quickly, because when you say it the next couple of days, you'll now understand better what this Yom Tov is all about. B'mei Matisya ben Yochan Kohen Gadol HaKashanai Ubanav, in the history of that period of time, K'she'om D'malach Isya ben HaRasha, when the great Greek Empire, that was a wicked empire, where they tried to take power away from the Jews, and therefore they went against the Jewish people. And what did they try to do? Lashkichem teresecha, la'avim achukei ritzonecha. To forget and get rid of the Torah, get rid of the Tayag mitzvahs. Shabbos was singled out, Milowish was singled out. The Ikrei Hadas, the Ikrei HaMitzvahs, we're going to get rid of it, and we're going to replace it with the concepts of Hellenism. Total Avodah Zarah.
You are listening to BenStorah.com.
Atah Berachamecha HaRabim. Hashem had tremendous divine compassion upon us. Amad L'Meisarasam, you God were behind the scenes, helping us at the time of our stress. Rafta Rivdam, you fought their fights. Danta Dinam, you adjudicated their actions of judgment against their oppressors. Nakamta Nikmasam, you took vengeance on behalf of the Jewish people. And what did you do in practice? Masata Giborim Yad Chalashim, you took a mighty international army that was supposed to be invincible, and you handed them over to the hands of a bunch of Jewish soldiers, guerrilla fighters that were weak. We're not professional military people. Rabban Be'Adniyata, miracle too. A gigantic army had conquered Judea and Eretz Israel, and it was given over to Matam, a small group of people. How did this miracle take place? It seems to be L'mala miderech hateva. The answer is, and is given by the Payit over here of the Al HaNisim, who were the combatants? Tamein biyat taharim. The Greeks were tameim, spiritually contaminated with avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shechichas adam, in the hands of kohenim and kohenim gadolim that were taharim, were pure neshamos of Torah mitzvahs, with Kedusha. Number two, Rishayim biyat tzadikim. The Greeks were Rishayim, evil people. And they were delivered in the hands of people who were tzadikim, righteous. Zaydim biyat oiske seresecha. Those who are brute, those who are literally boorish, those who act like an animal. And therefore, might is right. We'll conquer everybody. You handed them over to people who are Iske Sarasecha, who live a life of learning Torah and having Torah be the source of instruction of everything they do, from the time they get into up in the morning to the time they go to sleep at night. What do we see over here? Hashem is saying that the quality of the fighters over here, of the Jewish people, that they were Tahorim, Tzadikim, Oiske Sarasecha, who they were. They were the embellishment, they were the essence of what Torah and Yiddishkeit is all about. they had the ability to overpower the mighty and powerful and corrupt spiritually and morally ethically army of the Seleucid Greeks. If you look upon it, you have over here a classical example of quality of person overcoming a very lack of quality personality. But to use a term which Rav Chaim uses, you had the echus, the quality of the Jewish soldier, overpowering the kamus, the number of soldiers and the powerfulness of these soldiers, echus overcoming kamus, quality overpowering quantity. The victory causes a kiddush shem shemayim. La'amcha asisa tshuva gadola perkin yom hazeh. This was a major victory for Klal Yisrael spiritually and physically. And then Klal Yisrael got a hold of their mikdash. They came to Devir Beisecha. Pinu echalecha, they cleansed out all the idolatrous stuff that was there when the Greeks had hold of it, got hold of this temple mount. Tiru mikdashecha, they purified the temple. New mizbeach, new utensils, new menorah. Vidliku neiras b'chatzos kashecha, they lit anew the brand new menorah. Doesn't tell you about the miracle of the Pach Shemin here, but they were able to relight the menorah, as the Gemara says, and they made shmonis mina Chanukah lahodos lahalel l'shimcha gol to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, this is the Iker part, states the following Chiddush. How did the Jews see the fact that quality of personality or quality of a specific essence can overcome and overpower quantity? Eches being mezgaber over the concept of kamus. So Rav Chaim says they learned it from the miracle of the Nes of Chanukah, as the Gemara explains. Listen to this very carefully. This is the crucial part of Rav Chaim's Chiddush. Rav Chaim says, how did the miracle of the Pach Shemin take place? They put all the oil into all of the seven lamps of the menorah. There was no expectation that on the second day they're going to have any pure oil left to light the menorah. And technically speaking, Chazal say, if there wasn't any oil left, they could then use Tami Dika oil, since that's an Avedis HaMikdash, because they have a principle, Tuma Dechuy V'Hudra B'Tzibor, when you have to bring a carbon tzibor, or do Avodos related to Avedis HaTzibor in the base of the Mikdash. If there's no other choice, it has to be done in a contaminated fashion, the tumah is the chuya v'hutra to be done when it comes to things that involve the public sacrificial service of the Beis HaMikdash. 100% halacha. If all the Klal Yisrael were tameh, or the overwhelming majority before the Yantav of Pesach, they could bring the Pesach in tumah. Tumah the chuya v'hutra v'tzibur. Now, says Rav Chaim, but that's not what happened. They never had to use tameh dika oil. Because on day number 2, there was still oil in the menorah. And so day 3, going all the way up to day 8, until they were able to purify themselves with the sprinklings of the paraduma and going to mikvah, to then manufacture brand new pure oil to light on the 9th day, brand new manufactured pure oil, manufactured by people that were totally tar from tumas emes and other contaminants. Where did they get the extra oil to light for 7 days? So the Chazal say each and every day they saw that all the oil that should have been burnt up the first day was still in the menorah. What does that mean? Listen to this. So some of Fashion wanted to say that even though the oil had burnt down entirely on day 1, when it came back day 2 or 3 or 4 afterwards, miraculously it filled to the top again. So Reb Chaim says, if that's the way the miracle took place, they could not use the miraculous oil from day 2 to 8, because we have a principle in halacha, you can't mekayim mitzvahs with objects or substances that are miraculously created. You can't use shemen hanes that's miraculously created to perform a mitzvah in atayra, to perform a mitzvah in derabanan. It's not halachically allowed to be done. And they were lighting a menorah, which is a mitzvah deraisa, so it had to be natural oil. But how did the natural oil survive in the menorah for 8 days if the quantity only lasted 1 day? So says Rab Chaim, I'm going to show you how the miracle took place. After day one of the menorah, they saw that only 1/8 of the oil had burnt the first day. And the second day, they saw another 1/8 of the oil burnt, and there was now 6/8 left. By day number 8, 7/8 of the oil had burnt, and 1/8 of the oil was left. So it seems that every day, 1/8 of the oil diminished and burnt for the full time, as if all the oil was burning in that period of time. It diminished by 1/8 each and every day. How was that possible? Oil has a burning factor. It has a certain rate of burning and consumption of the oil. How, if the burning factor of the oil should consume this oil in 24 hours, was this able to last 8 times the time frame? How did that work? So the genius of Reb Chaim is to say the following. What the Rabbanan Shalom did is change the burn rate factor of the oil. This is crucial. The quality of the burn factor of the oil, we have the capacity today in our chemical laboratories to control the burn factor and to manipulate the burn factor of all the oils that we use for all types of energy. Whether it's olive oil that's used for burning, for making light, or regular oil that's used for powering our cars, our planes, and everything else. In modern science, we have learned the ability to manipulate and purify and make more efficient the burning factor rate of the oils we are using for our human purposes. It's a natural part of manipulation of natural law. That's part of natural law. And we have the chachma today to figure out how to do that. And we do it today to make the oil that we use longer lasting and more efficient. The burn factor is manipulated based upon chemical phenomenon taking place in a human laboratory. What the Rabbanu Shalom did before the world at large discovered this concept of manipulation of burning factor is Hashem in his divine laboratory changed the burn factor of the olive oil in a little crucible of oil and made this oil burning factor so efficient that it was able to burn less oil and last a longer period of time. So it is able to go not just for 24 hours, but for 8 times 24 hours that the oil would just diminish by 1/8. Based upon the burning factor of Hashem's changing this in the natural law of that oil, so only 1/8 of oil was needed to last the entire 24 hours. Says Rab Chaim, when you're changing based upon manipulation of natural law, the burn factor to make it more efficient, that is not considered miracle oil that's left behind. That's looked upon regular natural oil that's burn factor has been worked with, manipulated, which we can do in our laboratories as human beings, the Derech HaTeva, to make the oil burning more efficient. What was the miracle of Ner Chanukah? This is the most crucial part. Hashem took the Eichus, the quality of the oil that was limited, and made the burn factor so efficient, it overpowered the Kamos, the amount of oil that was there, in this case, the limited amount of oil, that it should burn more efficiently and last for 8 days rather than for 1 day. The miracle of the menorah was the ability of the quality of the oil to be misbagabar, go over and manipulate the kamas, the quantity, to allow the natural oil to burn naturally. Each day only 1/8 to last for all 8 days until they could produce pure oil the day afterwards. If that's the case, the miracle of the Ner Chanukah showed the Jews, this is Shalai, this is Lamaila B'derech HaTeva, when you see the miracle, even though it's done B'derech HaTeva, how the Netzach HaMechama took place. He wanted the miracle of the menorah, when it's understood and comprehended, as I just taught you, to explain how we won the war. We didn't win the war because of Kol Chiv Yotzem Yodi, not because of Bechayil or Bechayach, Kim Beruchi, because the combatants on our side, the Jews, the Chaloshim, the Mu'atim, what kind of quality did they have? They were Tehoirim, they were Tzadikim, they were Oiske Seirat Secha. The quality of the combatants, the Jewish combatants, compared to the Goyish army, who might have been Gibarim, and might have been quite obviously very, very numerous in number of soldiers. But look at their quality. They were Temeim, Rishoyim, Zaydim. They were very, very poor quality. The Ness of the Netzach HaMilchama was once again the principle of Eches quality, having control over Kamas of quantity. And therefore, the miracle of the Pach Shemen taught us this principle, educated us how that phenomenon took place, that Eches is able to overpower Kamos, when Hashem behind the scenes gives us the power to do this and accomplish this. Likewise, the war was the Eches of the Jewish soldiers who overpowered the quantity of the Greek army, because their Eches, compared to the Eches of the Goyish soldiers, were two different worlds. Polar opposites. Both miracles were Eches over Kamos, and the miracle of the menorah explained the miracle of the military victory. We needed the Ner Chanukah to explain how the Milchama took place. It wasn't human victory. It was a divine orchestrated victory. Because we're Klal Yisrael. And the Rabbeinu Shalom promised us in the Bris Bein HaBesarim that he's going to be a Morgain to us. Which means Klal Yisrael could never, ever, ever be destroyed by genocide of the non-Jewish world. It's Avtoch in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Netzach Netzachim. Nobody was able to do it. Babylonia couldn't do it. Persia couldn't do it. The Greeks couldn't do it. The Roman Empire couldn't do it. Later on, the Turks tried it. The Arabs have tried it and are still trying it. We have a Magen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Magen Avram every day in our Tilos. We're indestructible as Jews. And this is an historical fact of thousands of years. The nations who wanted to kill us are on the dustbins of history. And we are Chai V'Kayim, Am Yisrael Chai, till the end of time because of Hashem Siyata D'Shmaya. It's not just Am Yisrael Chai, but with Siyata D'Shmaya and the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. That's why Am Yisrael is Chai. And the second promise of Hashem. Vayotze Achutza, Hashem told Aaron, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Bris Bein HaBesarim, you're going to survive as a people, lamaila miderech hateva, against the laws of natural law, in your being able to have creation of children in a very, very special way. Aaron sort could have children naturally, but we were not bound by natural law. You superseded it, and they had children. Lamaila miderech hateva. Your ability to survive as a nation against all the forces of the world is lamaila miderech hateva. Your political power, your national power. This is all because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the scenes promising us. You will survive and be successful l'mayla miderech hateva in the history of the world to the end of time. These concepts were in the mind of the Chashmonaim at the time of their taking on this war, because they knew the promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, that when you're working on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're fighting Hashem's battles, L'shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven, to preserve Torah and Mitzvahs, you're doing it for the sake of preserving His Am HaNivcha, the Am HaKadosh, the Am Segula of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chosen people of Hashem. You're doing it to preserve the ability of Klal Yisrael to get their Marasha, Eretz Israel, and hold on to that Marasha, the Nesach, the Tzachim, to the end of time. All of these is supported by the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Shebechol dar v'dar, ayin malenu l'chaloseinu. But what do we say in the Haggadah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. That's the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, which the Chashmonaim held in their minds. And since they wanted the Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, as the Alei Nisim says, their victory was a kiddush shem shemayim, and Hashem's promises to the invincibility of Klal Yisrael, l'daros, and the ability to do things l'mayla miderech hateva l'daros, became visible to the naked eye of the entire world. This caused a kiddush shem shemayim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was a kiddush shem shemayim caused by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we light the menorah on Chanukah, it's not just lighting the nice lights like they relit the lights in the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the miracle of the Nitzach HaMelchama to teach them how the Nitzach HaMelchama took place. But it's to teach Klal Yisrael how Eichus of the Jewish people, Tzadikim, Tehoirim, Moiske Seiresecha, Teires, Matzil, Omegin, is the secret for Klal Yisrael's existence to persevere in all generations, including ours, to the end of time. Rav Chaim therefore says, that's why we needed two miracles on Chanukah, to teach us that the Nitzach HaMelchama was lo b'chayil b'kayakim baruchi, was under the divine supervision and orchestration and help of the Rebbeinu Shel Mechvado Biatzmo. Eilu barachav, eilu besusim, anachlu b'shem elokim naskir. The world looks upon their weaponry to demonstrate their all-powerfulness and their ability to conquer the world, to be the superpower. But we realize what makes Klal Yisrael the superpower is not the rechav and the susim, not the chayil or the kayach, ki b'shem Hashem elokim naskir, Ki Baruchi, the Ruach of the Torah, leading us, invigorating us, giving us the powers that an Eichus can overcome a Kamus. That is the miracle we're celebrating on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. It's one corporate miracle. And this miracle, I want to tell you, is going to be the miracle of our success in the current war. We have once again adversaries led by the Iranian Empire, Machshman v'Zichram, who are the Nazi regime of our 21st century, who worked with the Nazis during World War II, are trying to finish the job that they felt the Germans did not complete. They say this explicitly. But what they're forgetting is that they didn't want to destroy us. I pointed out many of my shurim or salvation call people want to destroy genocide, Klal Yisrael perform. They have the halachic status of ideological amalekim. There's a mitzvah timcha zeich amalek, but what people forget, that's what we do when we have to fight a battle to protect ourselves. The Chashmonaim did it. The IDF's doing that now. But one other principle, that besides timcha, Hashem says, I'm going to help you. I'll make sure you finish off the job. Whatever you can't complete, I will complete. We're living in historical times, my ladies and gentlemen, times that are called Ikser de Meshicha. According to the Chafetz Chaim's drasha to his Talmidim before he passed away, the enemy we're confronting now is seen by Chazal in Midrashim thousands of years ago. That Persia / Iran is going to threaten the Jews and threaten the world was foreseen by Chazal. It is mentioned also by the Zohar, not only in Midrashic literature, but in Kabbalistic literature. This is the Gullus of Yishmael that we're having to overcome now. And the battles we're fighting, and the struggles we're undergoing, and the threats to our life, physically and spiritually, were already forecast by Chazal. They call this the Chevlei Mashiach. We're about to observe the Yom Tov Chanukah in a couple of days. We got to realize, by the fact that you see, when it comes to the Israeli army, now the IDF, that you have all Jews coming together from all sectors, secular and religious Jews, even Hasidish Jews. The Sama Rebbe's Einikel, believe it or not, is part now of the IDF. But it's interesting, the secular Jews are not just joining the army to fight. They want to return to religion. They want to put on tefillin again. They want to put on tzitzit. They want to wear yarmulkes. They want to be Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Kashrus and Shomer Mitzvahs. We have an incredible miracle taking place that in this war, there is an incredible achdus of Klal Yisrael that hasn't existed for years. And besides that, a major tshuva movement to go from secularism back to the belief in Torah and Mitzvahs and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have an incredible return to religion on levels that weren't even seen by the Six-Day War or other miraculous wars we had in Eretz Israel. What powered us to win the past wars? Return to Hashem and Achdus of Klal Yisrael is what's going to allow us to be Menatzeach in the current battle the IDF is fighting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, not only in Eretz Israel, but on behalf of Jews around the entire world. The entire world is showing their anti-Semitism, which Chazal predicted is going to happen in Chevlei HaMashiach. This is the emergence of the members of the Gog and Magog coalition that joined together at the end of time to try to prevent the Jews from becoming the ultimate Am Segula, living in Eretz Israel, and becoming the Ur LaGoyim, which Hashem promised us we're going to be. This is their last stand to try to prevent this from happening. But the Rabbanu Hashem is not going to allow that to happen. We're doing the Timcha by fighting each and every day, but Hashem Mocha Emchel will make sure that the battle is won by us. Have patience, have savlanus. What we have to do is fight the battle ourselves, and that means learn Torah more intensely. Torah is Megin Umatzil. When you daven with more Hishtabchus and Nefesh, with tremendous intensity, it's an Eis Hatzara Gedola, and Tefillah is the Reis according to everybody. When you're an Eis Hatzara, and the world now is an Eis Hatzara for Klal, no matter where you live, even if you're not living in Eretz Israel, anti-Semitism is threatening everybody no matter where you are. We got to dive with tremendous kavana. Not just rush through the words, but have in tremendous machshavos with intense kavanas when we're davening. We have to be involved in acts of chesed, acts of charity, kindness, and love. Because Chazal say one of the most powerful things Jews can do to have Hashem's rachmanis bestowed upon us, rachmav of Hashem and chesed of Hashem, to be bestowed upon the Jewish people, is the acts of chesed. And when you see the chesed taking place from all the Jews around the world supporting the Jews in Eretz Israel, who knows how many Jews lost all their possessions, lost their houses because of the attack we had a couple of weeks ago. What did Klal Yisrael do? They gave them apartments to live in Eretz Israel that they're not living in at this point in time. They gave them food. They're giving them clothing. They're giving them support. They're coming to mesameach them. They're fighting in the battlefield to get their relatives back that are hostages. Jews are risking their lives to help other Jews. Mesiras nefesh. Hafta Hashem Elokecha afilu noto nafshecha. How many Jewish soldiers are dying with the help? Nebuch. But Hashem should be matzil them. They're dying on Kiddush Hashem to save Klal Yisrael around the world. It's a Kiddush Hashem war. People are risking their life to the Kiddush Shem Shemayim for the sake of the Hatzalah of Klal Yisrael and the Hatzalah of Eretz Yisrael and Torah Eretz Yisrael, that we should be able to survive and thrive in the land given to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and given to us at Har Sinai. It's our Marasha. Nobody else's Marasha. And therefore, we're going to hold on to it and we're going to keep it. Things are going to change. But we have to do our part in fighting the war. And that is, when soldiers are fighting on the battlefield, we're fighting on our battlefield, in our Bate Knesios and our yeshivos, in our minyanim, men and women coming together to show our achdus, our concern, our love and compassion for each other. Avos Yisrael is a tremendous power. We're showing Hashem now. If you look at what's happening, our Avos Hashem, our Mesiras Nefesh, our Avos HaTorah, people are learning more Torah now than ever. I saw some combatants from our army in a free moment learning Daf Yomi on the battlefield with their full gear. The famous art scroll printed thousands and thousands of Gemaras, Daf Yomis, based upon the request of the soldiers in the army. We want to learn when we have free time. This is a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. A message given to Yeshua that when you're not fighting war and you're in a battlefield, you're supposed to be Omek, in Baimik, and learning Torah. It's happening now in front of our eyes. We have to realize we are participants in this battle, and that is Lo Berechev, Lo Besus, Lo Bekayach, and Lo Biyad, but Kibiruch Yom Hashem Savakais, Shem Hashem Naskir, by doing all the spiritual things we're doing, and having chesed, and davening, and everything else, that will bring the nitzachon of the Ness, of this Melchama as well, and ultimately usher in the coming of Mashiach and the building Beis HaMikdash, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, that the return to Eretz Yisrael at the end of time will be through Tzion B'Mishpat Tipodeh, will be redeemed, B'Mishpat U'B'Tzedakah. So the concept of law, Jewish law being observed, and the practice of charity and kindness, we are doing it, and we're going to succeed. Just let's be mispalel. L'shan haba b'yushlaim ha'benui in the schus of Chodesh Kislev and the Heilig Hanukkah. We should be able, when we light the candles, to remember what caused the miracle Hanukkah to take place. Eches overpowers Kamus, the Yisod of Rab Chaim. That's what I wanted to share with you today. Have a wonderful Chanukah Sameach, Tamidim v'Tamidos.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.